Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. Father, we thank you for your wisdom concerning the times ahead, how we can cooperate with you and escape the judgments that are about to fall upon this earth. And we praise you, Lord, that you'll give wisdom and bring all things to remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay, saints, I'm going to share a revelation with you. It's fairly astounding. We're going to call this rebellion in the church and state will fail. This first one is about a Ruth Bader Ginsburg double. Doubles aren't unheard of. Saddam Hussein had a couple. Hillary's got at least one or two, and for their own purposes. And I think this is one too. And this came to Sandy Shaw on January the 10th, this 2019. And it's fairly astounding. Actually, I sent this to the president. You know, sometimes they don't get that, but I sent it anyway. Hopefully, he'll know what's going on. And Sandy said, the way this dream starts, I'm in a surgical room. I cannot be seen. There was this petite person being operated on. And I heard the surgeon say, we're going to do the biopsy on the right first. Then, when they finish on the right, he said, let me see the x-ray of the growth on the left. That's a little bit bigger. Let's just take it out. I could see what they were cutting. I couldn't see what they were cutting, but when they opened it up to take it out, that's when they hurried up to close it. They couldn't get it all. They knew that she wasn't going to make it for very long. And they wheeled her out to the recovery room. That's when I saw that it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice. Okay. So she's in bad, bad shape, beyond repair. But that's not what they're saying right now. It's a possibility that the reason they're saying she's recovering so well right now is that this dream is correct and there has been a double to replace her. Time has gone by. Her eyes are open. She whispers for her assistant and says, you need to get me home and do it discreetly. It took them a day to set it all up, and now it is nighttime. So they're trying to do all this in the darkness so that it won't be known. They have her on a gurney and are moving her in a shiny black cargo van to take her to her house. There are about 10 to 15 people there. They are getting her comfortable in a hospital bed. Someone asks, was she in pain? She said, just give me half a dose. She had an agenda. Then she said, is my double ready? And some of the people left the room. She wanted to see the double. And a man said, Ginsburg? Then the door opened and I could see her standing on the other side. She looked exactly like her. The same man walked to her and closed the door and said, now is the time to act and talk like we trained you. We have paid you a lot of money. Now don't mess this up. So now, till the day you die, you are Ruth. You say that wouldn't work? Oh, yeah, but they're talking about letting her judge from home so she won't be around the other justices who know are pretty good. They'll only get what is passed on to them. Okay. Then she went into the other room with the real Ruth. The real Ruth told her, "You still have a little time to get me right." In other words, to be like her, to learn to copy her. "Don't undo my lifetime of work, or my associates will see to it." In other words, if she messes up, they will undo everything she has done, which is basically a criminal history against the Constitution. "There is no lifetime for you." And the double leaves, and the real Ruth goes to sleep. In other words, the double won't have a life of her own. Right? "The people that are in the room are all dressed in regular office attire. They are having a conversation. How long do you think she will last?" The assistant said, "Well, she has a very strong constitution. She will not leave until she knows that everything is in place." Well, she don't have control over that, does she? "Time passes and she's awake again. She wants to talk to her assistant and that man alone. She whispers in a frantic voice, 'You must promise me that Trump will not find out and not be able to appoint another justice. You must keep our plan.'" Unquote. And they promise her, and they're sitting by their bedside, and it got quiet, and she went back to sleep with the night light on. "Even though I knew they couldn't hear me, I was begging and pleading with them to get it right with God." Yeah. "You cannot be this evil that you're orchestrating things beyond the grave." But they will try, and they have done it before. "Two men came in and whispered something to the first man, and I don't know what. The man touched the assistant's shoulder and said, 'I think she's gone,'" quote unquote. "They get a little mirror and put it under her nose, and she's gone. They pull the sheet over her head and wheel her out, but I don't know where. And as soon as they did this, they made up her room just as before." So the real Ruth died in the dream. And it may have already happened, or it may be going to happen, and they're telling people everything's going to be fine. So then, for a few days, they had been working with the new Ruth. She had a bathrobe as if she were recuperating. They had been practicing with a laptop, so that when she talked to the proper authorities, she could pass off as Ruth. This is when something happens in the world. I don't know what it is, but they all started to panic. Could it be Gitmo? I don't know. Obviously, they're panicking about it now and making some very bad steps and wanting to make some very evil steps against America, and trying to start a world war, etc., etc. Okay. But they know they can't follow through with their lies. Suddenly, for some reason, they think they're not going to get away with this. They say, "What are we going to do? Instead of the new Ruth, we'll have two." Yep. The assistant said, "Well, we'll just say she died now." Half of them didn't like it and said, "No, let's just keep it going." So they were all arguing, and those that agreed with the assistant set it back up. So they made the phone call. So they didn't like what the assistant said. Let's just let it go. Let's just don't do it because it's too dangerous, maybe. Time had passed, and they killed the assistant, the one that didn't agree with them, with their shady thing, and they did not want this to be known, so they took out the one that might be talking. And they made it look like an accident. Now I'm standing in front of President Trump, and he doesn't see me. And I'm praying, "Lord, please let him hear me like he can hear me, like a ministering angel. Autopsy, autopsy, do an autopsy." Okay, well, she probably wouldn't pass the muster with an autopsy, right? Vice President Pence then knocked and opened the door. "Mr. President, Justice Ruth is dead." Trump's reply, "Make sure they do an autopsy." Then I woke up. This was dreamed on 12/27/18, 1/5/18, and 1/9 of 2019. Four times in a row. Pretty important, I'd say. You know what Joseph said, when a dream is doubled, right? It's surely going to come to pass. So Ruth may be dead or about to die. I read a rosy picture how she is recovering well from her surgery. Of course, that's to cover up for the double. But what we see in this dream is the opposite is likely true. I believe that through your prayers, this will fail and will ultimately be known. And why I say ultimately, I say that because it may fail and they may not say a thing about it until they want to. They've done this in the past. Trump's been doing this. It's just so that they can follow all leads back to the source. And so they may be quiet about it, even though she is admitted to be dead. Okay. And again, I sent this to them. Whether they do anything with it, I don't know. But we can pray that they do, right? So that's one thing. Now, here's another thing. The Bible code shows all this situation about the wall, about the budget, the immigration crisis, et cetera, et cetera. It shows all this. And I'm going to give you the link to this Bible code here so you can look at it in full. I'm just going to share pieces of it. Barry says on figure one, the Axis term is a 10-letter term meaning national emergency. Okay, is the president going to declare a national emergency? I think it's a good possibility that he will. In the smaller 418-letter area matrix with a white background are border from the south. So what we're finding in this matrix is national emergency, border from the south. That's in the open text. In other words, that's a no skip. And wall at a skip minus one. National emergency, border from the south, wall. Odds against these matches were about 1,451 to 1. So it's not likely that this is an accident at all. On the full 1,056 letter matrix at skip plus one is to build. So to build the wall. At skip minus one is USA, to build the wall on the south border, maybe by a national emergency, and so on. There is an ELS, equal distant lettering system, of government that shares a letter MEM with national emergency. Well, it could be the shutdown government, national emergency. Other terms not at a special case skip are Army / military, who they think will build the wall, budgeting, crisis, and immigration. Well, it is a crisis. The Lord is saying it's a crisis. People don't know what they're letting into the country. But let me tell you, you just keep your eyes open and you will see that they're bringing in disease after disease after disease after pestilence. Yeah, just exactly what we said some time ago. Okay, they're doing it. And they're going to bring it more openly and voraciously, I believe. Odds against the full matrix were about 16,578,146 to 1. Not likely it can happen by accident, right? On January the 7th, 2019, President Trump issued the threat of declaring a national emergency in order to fund the wall. He didn't mention it in his televised speech on the next day, but it was clear that neither Pelosi nor Schumer were prepared to reach a compromise. If he issues a national emergency, the Democrats will likely try to block him in the Ninth Circuit Court. Their order will likely need to be overturned by a higher court. Meanwhile, about 800,000 people may have to do without pay. Okay. So I'm looking at the matrix here. Very interesting. And it has the skip sequence plus what the wording is, national emergency, which is 84103 skip sequence, and that matches budgeting, 84103, which is in the negative. Let's see. 84104 is crisis. That's the skip sequence, right? So we got national emergency, wall, border from the south, budgeting, to build, army, government, USA, immigration crisis. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one. I'll just read a little bit of his lead-in to this. And you can go and look at all the rest of it on the page itself. Okay, here is the second one. It's state of emergency. Wall, Pelosi, Schumer, president, border, war, crisis, establishment, Mitch. And Mitch could have shut this thing down, but he didn't. Could have funded the wall with the nuclear option and was exhorted to, but he did not. No, people don't know why he did not, but he did not. So anyway, let me say something about the wall. The wall cannot be a complete success. And that's because the Lord has shown us what he's going to use to bring down apostate Christianity, the faction in both the government and in the church, and he's going to use this invasion to do this. He's also going to use this to bring a pestilence into the country, which could represent not only a very bad pestilence, but a bunch of pestilences. And that's what we're seeing out there right now, which I don't think it's going to stop at that. We're seeing a bunch of things that have basically been done away with in America coming back strongly, and et cetera. And they'll probably want to shoot everybody up in order to slow some of this stuff down. And guess what? The stuff they're going to put in you is more deadly than the rest of it. So anyway, better to walk by faith, right? So the wall can't be a complete success in most people's eyes before the enemy comes into the country to spread disease and overthrow the factious and the apostates in the government, which the Lord has shown us is going to happen. And, of course, those that they have infected. The government has infected many people through their mainstream media with slander. Slander is how these demons are passed on. Slander and witchcraft, that's how they're passed on. All they've got to do is speak, and people who believe these things and don't cast them down can receive those demons. So, the government and the people who are following, I'm talking about the beast government, the deep state government, right? The and those, of course, that are following them through the media and are affected, and also the church. So few realize that this is what will happen. You know, Pharaoh went to destroy the people of God, and he was destroyed. And we've received this text over and over and over, the Lord declaring unto us that what is coming is exactly that, the Red Sea, a Passover and the Red Sea. And the same with Sennacherib's scenario and the northern army. What happened? They went to destroy the bride, and they were destroyed. They weren't stopped from bringing into captivity and destroying many of the rest of the body of God's people. It was the bride that they could not destroy. It will be like the Passover when the destroyer, by the Lord's hand, took out specifically the firstborn of Egypt, because he has absolute control. He can specifically say who's going and who isn't. He has armies of angels out there to fulfill his will. But those who will escape all this is declared by Scripture. Exodus 12 and 23 says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." Now these things were spoken unto them, and they were written for we who are at the ends of the ages, Paul said, because God wanted to give us a type and a shadow to show us that history repeats. And we can still trust in the Lord in the same way they did. You know how you walk in and out under the blood of Jesus? Well, first thing, 1 John 1, 7 through 9 tells you to confess your sins so you can be cleansed. And also your faith. You're justified through faith in Jesus Christ, that the Lamb of God has borne your curse. He has borne your sickness. He has borne your sin. It says all of these things. And people just need to be knowledgeable of the word and give up on their dead religions, because they're going to kill you. Remember, the harlot and the many daughters of the harlot are guilty of the blood of the saints. They will kill you. They're turning you away from the very things you need to survive the things that are coming. Well, some may be under the blood as far as salvation, but do not believe as far as healing and health and safety, like Psalm 91 teaches. And they therefore may pass away. Okay? Not that they miss the kingdom, but they may pass away. And God's in control over all that. He knows who needs what, and he knows who should receive a a prize for their faith, etc. So observing all of God's word is what we normally call the full gospel, even though some people claim that and don't know it. Observing all of God's word will save many lives. Not doing this will purge the apostates, meaning those who are fallen away in their doctrine. Exodus 15 and 26 says, "And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments." Notice he's just almost repeating the same thing. Know all of the word. Believe all of the word. Obey all of the word. And I'm talking about our New Testament, our covenant, right? "And keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will put none of the diseases upon thee." So there is such a thing as divine health, and notice what it comes from. It comes from obeying God's word. The true Israelite represents the second born or born again people of God. You notice we just saw that the Egyptians, their firstborn, were taken out. That's a symbol. They're firstborn. They're once born. But the people of God, who are twice born, born again, have a right to this benefit. So, the born again people of God, who partook of all of the Lamb, who was the Word of God, right, as their Passover, and were preserved. This will look to the untrained eye, this disaster, because it is a disaster. It's going to look to the untrained eye like the church has lost much. But if it was that case, God wouldn't do it. The church is not going to lose. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The church is not going to lose. But to the untrained eye, they're thinking that all of that mess out there is the church. And it's not. It's polluting the church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does God do with that? He tells you to kick out the old leaven. What's he doing with this disaster? He's doing just that. Because the people in the churches won't do it. They won't obey 1 Corinthians 5 about kicking out the old leaven. But the Lord will do it. And he's, by the way, kicking out the leaven when he separates the tares from the wheat at the end time harvest, which is happening, and binds them in bundles to burn them. How is he doing that? With faction. The wicked are swallowing this thing. They're swallowing these demons. And they're being taken out. Will some repent? Yes. Praise God. One time in our morning meeting, we got the story of Paul three times in a row. And we deduced from this that the Pauls that we've been praying for are coming. Who was Paul? Oh, he was a man who persecuted the people of God. He was a traitor to the people of God. He was a factious person to the people of God. But he repented, and God saved him, etc. Or I should say, God saved him and he repented. And by the way, became a very strong witness, did he not, to the whole church, praise God. And the greatest of the apostles, most likely I would say that. Like I said, this will look to the untrained eye like the church has lost much. But in many cases, it's just not the church. That's the thing. The reformers will follow in this vacuum, meaning when the apostate leadership is taken down, like Zedekiah was taken down, then follows the man-child ministry, because nobody would listen to them as long as they're under the thumb of the backslidden ministry. Saul had to be taken down before, and by the beast, by the way, before David could take over, right? And what did David do? He went directly against the Edomites, who were destroying their own brethren as a bunch of factious reprobates, destroying their own brethren. And he went against them, and he conquered them. So the reformers are going to follow in this vacuum to bring the true people of God into the wilderness, to raise up the church into its kingdom position, the temple of God. You know, when Babylon judged the people of God and took them into captivity, we're coming to the place where some are coming out of Babylonian captivity to the harlot and the harlot churches and the harlot government, etc., to rebuild. The wicked are doing everything they can to stop it, but they can't. They fail time and again, and they're only making it better. So I want to encourage you with this. I don't think it was an accident. I was doing a search for something, and I found this, which we may have shared a year or two ago. I'm not sure. No, it wasn't that long ago. But I'm not sure I shared it with you. I did share it with our brethren, but I'm not sure I shared it with you. But anyway, it was a really good exhortation about we're going to win this thing, folks. To the worldly, they think they've done something when they've wiped out apostate Christianity, and they have, in favor of God. They have done something, but they've not done what they thought. They're not destroying Christianity. They're destroying what is not Christianity. And that's according to God's plan. Anyway, this was called You Have Lost, We Have Won. That's right. You Have Lost, We Have Won. Mike Thompson received this, and it was posted on October the 5th, 18. So, well, he says, hello, you mighty prayer warriors and beloved of God. I had to share a vision with you. May be a little difficult for me to get through because it's still on me. He's talking about the anointing of the vision was still on him. I'm sitting in the sanctuary, and this is where it happened last night. I had a class, started at 7 o'clock, and while I was coming in to do the class, I could just feel myself being overcome by the Spirit. I could hear sounds in the Spirit and catch images, and I want to talk to you about the Lord, the Lion's Army, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I want to share with you a victory that's happening in the Spirit right now. And it's going to continue to happen as long as God's people do the warfare instead of just get caught up in the world, but do the warfare. Take authority over the enemy. Take authority over the demons that are taking authority over mankind, right? We're going to win. And by the way, let me say, I know a lot of people think, are worried about a failure here for Trump. I think that as long as you lift him up and you send wisdom his way, and he will complete his Cyrus prophecy. Not to say that this thing I'm saying isn't going to happen. It's going to happen. But you see, this is not negative in God's eyes. He's sending this. He is fed up with the liars and the people that plunder the people in the church. He's had enough of it. The people that lead people astray, warn them against the truth, and is guilty of the blood of the saints. The Lord is going to take them down. And woe be unto any of them that follow in their footsteps and begin to teach others error and lies that could destroy their lives and their children's lives. Woe be unto them, as the Lord is going to judge. That's what he told me one time. You don't want them going into the wilderness with you, do you? When I asked him, Lord, why are you doing this? I was talking about the faction, you know. He said, you don't want them going into the wilderness with you, do you? I said, well, I guess that would be a catastrophe. Yeah. So this was an open vision of the Lord's army. And Mike said, the first thing that I began is in the spirit, the way it swirls around me when these things begin to occur is that I could see darkness, I could see lightning. Here I am talking to people, in fact, standing behind the podium teaching a class, and I could hear what? Just muffled sounds that resembled strife and conflict. I would catch just glimpses, the glint of light that seemed to be reflecting off of swords. I slowed down in my presentation, my teaching, and the Spirit of God overwhelmed me, invaded me, and just began to pull me away. The scene became clearer, and I could see a battleground. And that's when I stopped the class, and I just shared what I just shared with you. I said, let's go into prayer, and we did. And as we did, the vision developed and went further. I could see this large battleground in front of me in the spiritual realm. This is the battle that's going on out there between the Satanists in the deep state and their elite leaders and the people of God who know enough to do spiritual warfare. Okay. The most successful, obviously, are the bride, because the bride is matured in holiness and righteousness and beauty before the Lord. And like Esther, who went before the King of Kings and petitioned for the people and was heard because of that. Right? Mike went on to say it was a full vision. It was an open vision occurring. On the far side of the battleground were these hordes of grotesque, disfigured demonic spirits. they were advancing and coming towards us. And when I say us, my position and those that were around me, they were screaming. Well, kind of like the people you see who are possessed of them scream. Have you seen that? Yes, I've seen it too. I've seen people that were totally normal taken over by these demons, and they start screaming, and you're just talking at a normal level, but they're screaming, you know? Yeah. The sound of their screams at the top of their lungs, just screaming and screaming, was violent. It was in anger and rage, blood-curdling screams. There's much anger and wrath, and judgment, and etc. Among not only the factious, but the people, well, the people that are become that way through the mainstream media too, you know. Blood-curdling screams of the demonic spirits as they were advancing. Their screams were not only of anger and rage, and meant to psychologically throw the opposing army off. But behind the screams, hidden in those screams, I could sense the fear that they have of losing the fight. Yes, they do. They have a fear of losing the fight. It makes people desperate. It makes them do very stupid things, very evil things, etc. Of losing their purpose. It was a fear that was so strong you could tell that it caused them pain, but they screamed even louder. Yes, you can see how that the deep state is getting in trouble. They're getting caught. The truth is getting out. They're fearful. They're angry. They're doing many evil things. They're telling lies that even a child wouldn't believe. But it doesn't make any difference. On the near side of the battleground were warrior believers and warrior angels, a mighty army. They were covered in light and glory. There was such a strength and a determination on the inside of them that it's like this battle is so important. We will not lose. We recognize our authority and who we are, and we will not lose. We will not give up. We will not back down. And they stood in confidence against that fear and the screams of the advancing horde. I was part of the army. It's hard to explain, but simultaneously I was both watching it from an elevated position as well as being part of that righteous army. I could see that the army wore armor, they carried shields, they had drawn swords, light was reflecting off of the swords as they held them up, swords against the screams. Then I heard a thundering voice from behind the righteous army, and the words that just echoed with authority and power across the battleground, saying to the demonic legion, "You have lost, we have won." So the righteous army was saying, confessing a word of faith, "You have lost, we have won." Can you do that? Yes. I remember us doing that locally here. You have lost, we have won. And as that voice thundered, I turned to look, and it was a large lion that was right immediately behind the righteous army. It was the lion's army. And I'm getting overcome right now. I'm back at it. I wish I could articulate what I see and feel adequately to you, just catching the anointing. Catch what the Spirit of God is dropping on the inside of you right now. As the words from the lion came, they entered the army, the warriors, and simultaneously with the voice of the lion, the warriors released the same words. So the lion was teaching the warriors to speak and confess to the enemy, "You have lost, we have won." And we can say that because we already know from the Word of God that we have won. It is finished. Jesus has overcome the world. It was as if one voice through thousands, millions, it's the voice of many waters, representing peoples through whom the Lord himself speaks, like in the book of Revelation. It was as if one voice through thousands, millions perhaps, all came forth with the lion's voice. "You have lost, we have won." It was a faith declaration. Yes, thou shalt declare a thing and it shall be done unto thee, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. It was a faith declaration. So declare it. This is where power comes from. Declare. Declare the victory over all of the Lord's enemies and your enemies. Declare it. Speak it. Cast down the dominion. You don't have to constantly ask God to cast it down. He is speaking through you. You cast it down. The disciples went out there to heal the sick. They didn't stop and pray, "Oh, Jesus, heal this person." No, they did not. They spoke the healing. They laid hands and they commanded the healing because they had been given authority. Not authority to always go back to the Lord, authority to do it. This is what disciples do. Jesus taught his disciples to do this. The strength, the confidence, the authority from heaven, from the throne, through the lion, through the backs of the warriors, and out of their mouths. And it was like the sound of many waters as it flowed across the battlefield toward the advancing horde. And then it shifted a little bit, and at that point the lion's army at the same time was lifted up into the air and was carried over the heads of the advancing horde. And they began to speak down upon the advancing horde words of authority, the word of God, faith declarations, speaking against them in great authority and power. Yes, you can speak against them. Whatever they're doing out there that is wicked and illegal and anti-God and anti-God's people, you have the authority to declare against it, to speak against it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And when they did, there was a flaming sword that came out of their mouths. And the swords launched straight down on the heads of those advancing legions. There were angels in the fire, in the swords. And when the fire would hit one of the demonic spirits, then his power was diminished. He slowed. His screams weakened. And it was having an effect. And then I noticed behind the legions arose a great beast. Now we know the beast is, these are all part of the beast. Like the dragon in Revelation 12 was seven heads, ten horns. That's the seven world ruling kingdoms and their seed all the way down to today, which is in the UN. And the ten horns, the ten continental divisions that are ruled over. A new form of government is coming. Okay. First stage is the dragon. Second stage is the beast of Revelation 13. So I knew it was the same beast that I had seen in preceding visions. Yes, the beast. Listen, the people who are in the beast have the nature of the beast. It doesn't matter what you call yourself, it's your nature. If you have the mark of the beast in your forehead, it means you have the mind of the beast, the mind of the flesh, which is the mind of the beast. And if you have it in your hand, it represents the works of the beast, right? Your hand represents works. Not saying that there's not going to be a physical manifestation to identify those who belong to the body of the beast. Not saying that. I'm just saying the spiritual mark is what first identifies these people. God's merely marking them because they are members of the body of the beast according to nature, the mind of the flesh, the works of the flesh. So he said, the same beast that I saw before came up to the edge of Europe, the west coast, jumped into the ocean and swam over and crawled up on the east coast of the United States. And that beast began to yell as loud as he could. And it was saying, scream harder, scream harder. It wants to raise up a rebellion against Cyrus and those people. Scream harder, scream harder. But it was too late. The screams were no match for the flaming swords of the lion in the mouths of his warriors, and the battle, the tide of which began to change. I knew instinctively, I could feel it, that the beast had the ability to influence and call in more warriors and more screams, but the power was in the screams. Yes. And whatever they say is how they pass on their seed to others. And a great horde of these people have been raised up. And not only that, they turn and make a geometric progression in that they turn and give this to other people. So this beast is being raised up to make war with the saints in the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. How is it being raised up? Just the way we're looking at it. We're seeing it. This is it. And you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, Jesus said. All nations. Why would they hate us and not, for instance, Islam, who is out there raping and pillaging and killing? Because they belong to each other. All that are in the beast have more in agreement with each other than they've got with you. Their spirit is contrary. Why is it so easy for the world to accept the spirit of murder in Islam? Because they are of the same spirit, the same nature. But the authority in the advancing army of God, the lion's army, was also coming out of their mouths in prayer, in faith proclamations, in prophetic declarations, in speaking the word, in pulling down the strongholds and the strategies and the structures, all things that was happening. People, I feel that this vision is timely in several respects. Number one, for what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere over America right now. For what's going on in the confirmation hearing for Judge Kavanaugh. For the upcoming midterm election. I even see beyond that to 2020 presidential election. Yep, so the battle goes on. It's not stopped. It was coming through all this time. God's people have stood up, and those that have authority and know they have authority, of course, are the, we would call, full gospel people, because they believe that they too are the disciples of Jesus Christ, and that what he told the first disciples and told them to pass on to you is passed on to them. But the dead religions, of course, they don't believe that. We don't believe we have authority or that we have a living Savior, even. Anyway. And Mike went on, I see all those things just coming at me in the spirit. And I hear the screams and the violence in the threats. And the Lord says, do not be afraid, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the lion's army is well able to do its job. The lion's army, with flaming words of authority, will rise up and defeat the enemy. I also feel that it's a progressive revelation that we will see a progressive vision that we will see come to pass in various forms through the upcoming years. The lion's army, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of the lion's army. You have to believe in the original Jesus, because the original Jesus passed on his authority to his early disciples, and he told them, whenever they make disciples, to pass on that same authority to them. And then there was a great falling away through the dark ages and churches that taught totally opposite of what I'm saying. And these people have to be removed. Their authority is that Babylonish captivity that people are in bondage to. Because if they don't know, the devil will beat their head in. The devil's army will whip them. They don't know they have any authority to stop any of this. Mike went on, if you will declare to stand up in prayer. You're part of the lion's army. If you will stand against the unrighteousness, if you will stand against the work of the beast, you don't have to fight the beast. The lion will destroy the beast. But you are part of the army that is launching those fiery projectiles down on the heads of the legions of the damned. See, the reason for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period and what we're going through right now before the tribulation period is to get the church ready to fight. Because if the beast came against most of the church, we're about to see what happens when the beast comes against apostates. And it is disempowering them. It is stopping them. It is paralyzing them. So speak against them. Cast down their power. Cast down their authority. Declare what you want done. Then the angels will go and bring it to pass. Their ministering spirit sent forth to do service for those that inherit salvation. So send them forth. Declare, speak against, cast down. It is diminishing their power, their authority in the earth and in America and against the body of Christ and against God's purposes and plans for the political structure of our nation, the destiny that he has already proclaimed. You are a warrior, clothed in beauty and garments of praise, armor of God, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. And the angels are flowing like fire from your mouth as you speak into the second heaven and the spiritual atmosphere, the words of the lion. You have lost, we have won. And every other word that he places in your mouth, stand up and give it with third heaven authority. Yeah. Amen. So be it. We have the authority, saints. It's been passed on to us by the Lord Jesus. If you don't know that, you haven't read the New Testament. So, but even in the midst of this, it is not a failure on the part of God's people. When God sends judgment to take down the apostate system, it's not a failure. The world looks on it like it's a failure of Christianity. But the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, the called out ones. That's what church means. It will not prevail against the called out ones. It will prevail with everyone else. If you remember the story of Esther, oh, the people were throwing up their hands and crying to God and worried and so on. Esther just simply, you know, made her case known to the king and received authority to listen, give them authority to stand for their life. She didn't do it. She gave them authority to stand for their life. Meaning what? If you don't stand for your life, what's going to happen? The beast is going to take you out. So, that's the story, and it's going to be fulfilled in our day. It's a parable for our day. Now, I put some notes in here of verses that we received by faith at random on one morning prayer and warfare meeting that show that the fall of the apostates to the beast and the escape of the bride, who is spiritual Jerusalem, as John was told in Revelation. That's what these point out. It's amazing how we can come together and all of us have words that totally agree with what the Lord is having us pray about and do warfare about. Matter of fact, we ask him many times, what do you want us to do warfare about? And what does he do? He shows us in the text. The texts aren't always literally speaking about what they're said, but you can tell what the lesson is in there. In other words, use it as a parable. You can tell what the lesson is. What he did for them, he will do for you. What he did against the apostates then, he will do here and now. We're asking him questions for the here and the now. And he's giving us answers out of the history of Scripture. So if you don't like the way we apply it, it's not a big thing. Don't worry about it too much. We're trying to get something from the parable there. Okay, we received these on 111:19, one right after another. It's all about the removal of the apostates. It's all about the loss of the wicked, which some will think is the church. Some people think, well, the Catholic Church is the church. No, she's just a mother of the harlots. A mother. I didn't say the mother. That's a bigger parable. But she is a mother of harlots. And that's being proven every day, too. They were in this crime up to their necks with the CIA, child trafficking, sacrificing, Satanism, total Satanism. It's been there all along. It's just being found out. Okay, here's Deb's word, Deb Horton. And these are all on 111. Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. See, don't get cast down by the bad news reports. You have the authority to turn things around for God and for the kingdom. All right? Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came oft unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge saith. And shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? And yet he is long-suffering over them. Not like this guy. He's just long-suffering over them. And I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. And of course, have you ever seen such speedily avenging of God upon this wicked system? It's been there from the beginning, actually. And now, nobody's ever been able to come against it before, and Trump wouldn't be able to either if God wasn't behind him. Cyrus came and brought down the Babylonian kingdom, the big, bad Babylonian kingdom. And he said, and I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, that's an important question. Will he find faith? Are the people of God going to stand up and fight the principalities and powers, which most of the lower echelons of the church don't even agree with or believe in, for goodness sake? They're not going to fight something they can't see. They don't believe for something they can't see either. So they don't know anything about faith. And now he's asking that question. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, I'll tell you what. He's going to find it in some. So it's another admonition to keep on asking. That's what Deb said. Yep, that's right. And this is one that I got, Psalm 58, 3 through 11. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. And yes, they are. They're the wicked, and they speak the lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which hearkeneth not to the voice of charmers, charming it never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as water that runneth apace. And when he aimeth his arrows, let them be as though they were cut off. Yeah, just remember that when they're aiming their arrows. They got their plans. They think it's going to come to pass. They think they have authority. They think they have power. All factious people think they have the power to do what they think. They all think that. But they don't. The confidence that they have comes from demons. Let them be as the snail, which melteth and passeth away, like the untimely birth of a woman that hath not seen the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, that is the wicked around you, right? He will take them away with a whirlwind, the green and the burning alike. He will take them away. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, there is a God that judgeth in the earth. Yes, they're going to say that. They're going to believe that. They're going to see this beast brought down. But then God has to bring it back. And he has to bring it back for the sake of those who are going into the tribulation period, who also have to go to their cross and can't be put on their cross without a beast like the Roman beast put Jesus on the cross. So the beast now is in the attempt to take down the man, child, and bride. It will fail. We're coming to the end of that. And then eventually it's going to be raised back up. Okay, Judy got Proverbs 18:11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. Listen to this. As a high wall in his imagination. As a high wall in his own imagination. They think this will save us. The wall will save us. No, it won't. It's not going to be the thing that saves you. Yes, of course, it can be used somewhat. I tell you what, the northern border is more open and unwallable. And they're working to get that ready to have a flood coming through in that direction. Bring down the elite, saints, the people that rule these people. Exercise your authority over them. Cast down their plans. Take their money away, etc., etc. Right? And then Michael got Jeremiah 42:18-22. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my wrath have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that is apostate Jerusalem, that's the one Zedekiah ruled over, and it had to go down, it was judged, it was taken out. So shall my wrath, and of course the new Jerusalem, or heavenly Jerusalem, is going to take their place. So shall my wrath be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. So people that went to Egypt to defend against the king of Babylon were taken down by him, by pestilence, by sword, etc., famine. The Lord has spoken concerning you, O remnant of Judah. Go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have testified unto you this day. There was a bunch of preachers that had joined together deciding to leave America. Who's going to preach the gospel here? They were deciding to leave America, but they didn't know that these things were spiritual things and not physical things. We come out from among them is what we do. Those that run down to Egypt for their defense are going to be proven that they don't have a defense. Because Egypt proved not to be a defense against Babylon. Babylon came right down there after those people and conquered Egypt. For you have dealt deceitfully against your own souls, for you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. They lied. And I have this day declared unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God in anything for which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword. Now they got swords. By famine. Yes, they are destroying the breadbasket on purpose, taking the rain from the west and swamping the east. They're doing it on purpose. And by pestilence, yes, they are filling the land up with diseases that were conquered. Yes, they are. In the place where you desire to go to sojourn there. Mm-hmm. Then Brandy got this text, which I think is talking about when the factious army of demons are smitten, the elect will return to the Lord and his kingdom. In effect, they're being delivered out of Babylon. They, remember, those that came back to rebuild came out of Babylon, right? Come out from among them. Be separate. The Lord can use you. And his text was Jeremiah 31:16-20. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Aha! And there is hope for thy latter end, says the Lord. Thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a calf unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. No, in other words, they finally got the revelation of grace. If God puts it in you, it'll be there, right? Turn thou unto me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearneth for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, says the Lord. Remember, Ephraim was the name given, was the fullness of nations. And they apostatized and factioned against Judah. And they had their golden calves, right? They submitted to what they called the Lord, but it wasn't. And that's exactly where the church is today, of all nations. Okay, here's Sue Farah, Jeremiah 34:2-3. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. And thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak unto thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. Well, you know, they were taken into captivity because of their sins, their rebellion against God. They would not obey his word. They would not listen to his word. They had no faith in the prophets. They fought against the prophets who were trying to save them. And that's exactly where the apostate church is. And Debbie got Nehemiah 4:1-9. But it came to pass that when Sambalat heard that we were building the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish, seeing they are burned? They didn't have much opinion that these people could actually rebuild, did they? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they are building, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. Wasn't true. They were being silly, just like factious people are. These were the brethren, actually, going back to Ammon and Moab and Lot, right? factious brethren coming against them. You can't do that, you know. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn back their reproach upon their own head. Good prayer. Give them up for a spoil in a land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Yep, there's people that are building, and there are people sitting on the sidelines criticizing, but they're not doing any building. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto half of the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem went forward, so they could pull them out of the rubbish. They could pull those burnt stones out and start over. And that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. They conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion therein. And that's what they do. That's what the faction does. But we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Yes. And here's Suji. Ezekiel 34, 20 through 28. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. That's that sheep with a lot of flesh and those with not a lot of flesh. Because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. And that's exactly what they do. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. That's talking about the David man-child ministry. He shall feed them, he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David, prince among them. There you have a picture of the man-child ministry through whom the Lord is going to manifest himself. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Oh, praise God. And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. So, the wilderness, look. They're going to have some relative peace for the first 3.5 years of the wilderness, which is the tribulation. And because the Lord wants to raise them up into a body, a mighty army. Right? And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will cause the shower to come down in its season. And there shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield its fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. That's when they're standing on the promised land, on the promises of God, right? And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. In this case, it's Babylonian captivity, right? It was like Egyptian captivity, wasn't it? Yes. And they shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them, but they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. Oh, they've learned their authority. They've learned their power. And Matt Farah got this, Malachi 3, 14 through 18. You have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are built up. Yea, they tempt God and escape. Then they that feared the Lord spake one with another, and the Lord hearkened. and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, even mine own possession in the day that I make. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return, that's the wicked, right? Then you shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Yep, we're going to see the fruit of that in this judgment that is coming. The wicked are going to get wiped out. And people are going to know, why weren't these other people taken down? Why wasn't Jerusalem taken down by the king of Assyria, the beast kingdom? Why was it not taken down? Some would say, well, because of its broad walls. Well, no, not exactly. The Lord smote them outside the wall before they ever got to do anything with the wall. But the wall represents sanctification, separation from the world. That's what was different about the people inside Jerusalem at that time. They were sanctified, separated from the world. Therefore, the enemy could not touch them. Shalonda got 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 10. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Oh boy, these are good ones. Josh Hebeth, a Tekiamonite, chief of the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite, against 800 slain at one time. And, well, that's interesting. One man. Now, you would think that these people would wake up and suddenly realize God is with this man, you know, 800. David didn't do that with the giant. I mean, this was 800 men slain at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodai, the son of Ahohalite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to take the spoil. You know, what is the exhortation here? Be a David's mighty man and take down the enemy by prayer and warfare. You're far more powerful than they are in that way. So, and Don got this, Psalm 17 and 3. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked by thy sword. That's what he's calling on us to do. Cast him down. Let there be a mighty army rise up, and you have lost, we have won. Consider it done, right? Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. And here's Merlin's. And I'm going to say about this, that the revival will come as in Joel chapter 2, when the northern beast army is smitten by the Lord, who will manifest in his man-child body of reformers. And that's where the revival starts. Luke 3, 16 and 17. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh he that is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And if you haven't gotten that yet, you better have it, because the army of the beast is coming. Whose fan is in his hand thoroughly to cleanse his threshing floor. Yep, all the husks were blown away, right? That's just trash. And to gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. And Jesus in the man-child reformer body will do this. So that was all in one morning. Not a large group of people, but people that came for prayer and warfare early in the morning, when a lot of people don't get up. Just one day. Now, here was the day before it. I'm going to give you a few from that. Naomi got Acts 1, 9 through 11. And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have beheld him going into heaven. Now this really puzzles a lot of people. How can you go in the same manner that you're coming? But let me just point out to you that when the man-child is caught up to the throne in Revelation 12, that's when he is coming to do his work with the church. So he's coming in the way of going. He is coming as Revelation 12, like David, to fight against the spiritual Edomites who were traitors to their brethren, the chosen people. Right? And Debbie got Psalm 48, 9 through 14. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. As is thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Number the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. What is this talking about? It's talking about a description of the bride who John was told was Zion, was Jerusalem. In other words, look the bride over very well. That's what you need to be to escape completely this thing that's coming. Look, walk about, look at the bulwarks, look at their palaces, look at the towers. We need to be able to tell people what it is to be separate from the world. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. You see? Don't look at these dead churches. That's not Christian. Don't describe that as Christian. Don't get caught up in that garbage and tell your kids that this is Christian. And while they're being destroyed on the earth, they wonder why you didn't tell them the truth about what the Bible says, who they are and who they serve and what authority they have and what holiness has been given unto them from God. You sacrifice your children to the fire. Okay. Deb. And Deb is different from Debbie. This is Deb Orton. And that was Debbie Finsky. We must walk above the coming curse by faith. This is what this verse that she got is about. Matthew 14. See, you see the parable in here? You see the thing we need to take away with this concerning the situation we're in. You see? That's the way you've got to see this. Matthew 14 and 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, Come. And Peter went down from the boat, walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. This is double-mindedness. This will get you killed. When he saw the wind, get your eyes off the wind, get your eyes on your heavenly King and what he said, right? He was afraid. He began to sink. In other words, he was only up there supernaturally because he had his faith in the Lord, right? Who said, Come. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Doubt was the whole problem. If you doubt who God says you are, and what God says you have, and the authority that he has given unto you, and the holiness that he has given unto you, if you doubt that, you're going to fail. Right? You can't stay supernaturally above the waters of the curse. Right? Remember Noah in the ark? The cursed waters took out the cursed people. Remember? And when they were gone up into the boat, the wind ceased. And they that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. We call this thing over here the boat. So, and Deb says, how cool is this? Last night I finally remembered to post on the blog about how the Lord kept the campground safe from the wind and the waves of rain, because the trees that fell missed all the campground trailers and everything. It was because she prayed it. She prayed and believed, right? Safe from the wind and the waves of rain. And now this morning I received Matthew 14 and 30. Awesome. Yeah. He saw the wind. He was afraid. Began to sink. Cried out saying, Lord, save me. Okay. Leon got Proverbs 21 and 12. The righteous man considereth the house of the wicked, how the wicked are overthrown to their ruin. Yes, and everybody's going to know that soon, but they'll forget it pretty quickly, and the tribulation will come, and history will repeat, and the wicked will be overthrown again in a flood after the tribulation. Just like we're now after a tribulation and a flood is coming. Can you see the parable of the flood and apply it now? Because it didn't naturally didn't happen that way. The flood came after the 7 days. It was a year, according to Isaiah 34 and 8, a year, just like all 7 days of Daniel's 70th week are years that are days of year. Okay. So, you got a day of the Lord coming after the tribulation in which all of the wicked that persecuted God's people are going to be destroyed. And Judy got Daniel 12 and 10. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but they that are wise shall understand. Have you ever tried to make the wicked understand? Who can make straight that which God hath made crooked? The Bible says you have to be in league with God to save people out of this, you know. And Merlene got this, Romans 8, 6 through 9. And it fits so good. For the mind of the flesh is death. You want to know who's not going to survive? Those with the mind of the flesh. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because of the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So the mind of the flesh, those who are led of the flesh and love the flesh and serve the flesh, and all, they can't be following God. These two are contrary. Neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Does not even belong to him. And Barry got Jeremiah 7, 27 through 34. And thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Why? They're in the mind of the flesh. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the nation that hath not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God. And they don't. They listen to the preachers, and the preachers also listen to their preachers. And it went all the way back. Nobody stopped to consider the Bible, nor received instructions. Truth has perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem. Cast it away and take, because that's a sign of submission and they don't have it, right? Cast it away, take up a lamentation on the bare heights. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done that which is evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. Yeah, they say this is Christianity. They say this is the church. They say that. But they're full of abominations because they're not considering what? They're not hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. And they have built high places of Topheth, which is where they burned the garbage from the city, right? They have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. That's what I was speaking about before, because if you lead your children to follow these apostate religions, you're just preparing them to be destroyed in the fire. Which I commanded not, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that it shall no more be called Topheth, for nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Topheth until there be no place to bury. And the dead bodies of this people shall be food for the birds of the heavens. You think it's not going to be bad? I think millions are going to die. I remember one guy, John, a prophet, you know, said that he saw 80 million Americans die when Muslims brought plagues into the country in vials hidden in their inner body parts. And 80 million people died. That's what he said. And he had a pretty good record of having good prophecies. He was led straight to us when he asked the Lord for some truth, and the Lord told him what to type in. He typed in, came right to our site. It was amazing. And the beasts of the earth, none shall frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall become a waste. So apostate Israel and its leadership, which is what Jerusalem represents, will become waste. The Joel 2 northern army and the king of Assyria conquered the people of God and brought them into bondage, but the bride, Jerusalem, escaped. Joel 2 also mentions the bride and the bridegroom when the northern army is coming, right? They were praying. And the Lord heard their prayers. That's like Mordecai and Esther. He heard their prayers. And here's Michael Hare, Psalm 119, 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in thy ways. Confirm unto thy servant thy word, which is in order unto the fear of thee. Turn away my reproach, whereof I am afraid, for thine ordinances are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me, which means make me alive, right? In thy righteousness. Righteousness is how God makes you alive, right? There is no curse upon some people, but there is a curse on the people who don't believe that righteousness is a defense against the wicked and against the curse. And Matt Farah, Ezekiel 20, 21 through 24, but the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes. Now, how easy is it for everybody to open their Bible, put their finger down on such verses as these, a warning about what is about to happen? They walk not in my statutes, neither kept mine ordinances to do them, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They profaned my Sabbaths, which is a ceasing from your works, right? Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Well, there you go. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand, and I wrought for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I brought them forth. Moreover, I swear unto them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my ordinances, but had rejected my statutes, and had profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Well, you want to know why judgment's coming? It's coming for that purpose. I say, come out from among them and be separate. Have a relationship with God through the scripture. You're not going to hear that in one of the daughter harlots. Right? Get in there and have a... And then you'll be able to recognize the church. You didn't have enough to go on when you looked for a church. Right? So get in there and find out what the church looks like. Like it said, go about her. Look at her. You know, look at the towers. Look at this. Look what's different about this bride. Because they're going to escape. Okay. Missy. I asked the Lord, what is the topmost thing on his heart right now? Got Revelation 2:27, rod of iron. Context 18 through 29. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, these things says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto burnished brass. I know thy works, and thy love, and faith, and ministry, and patience, and that thy last works are more than the first. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. So the big Jezebel harlot is going into the great tribulation to be destroyed, and along with those that are called her children. Because verse 23 goes on to say, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. What are our works judged by? The word. The word. But to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan. What, you talking about these religious people know the deep things of Satan? Yes, they do. They are anti-Christ. They're leading people away from the Christ of the Bible. And as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works, unto the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. There you go. If you keep his works, he will give you authority over the nations. That was like the revelation that I just shared with you. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Yeah, that's exactly what they were doing. As the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as also I have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Here's Shalanda, Daniel 8, 8 through 11. And the he-goat magnified himself exceedingly. When he was strong, the great horn was broken, And instead of it, there came up four notable horns towards the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the glorious land. Now, of course, this all has a literal meaning. It did happen in those days. Some people are trying to drag this over into the New Testament in the letter instead of seeing the parable. And it waxed great even to the hosts of heaven, and some of the hosts and of the stars it cast down to the ground. A symbolism there, you see. There's a great falling away. A third of the stars of heaven falls to the earth, right? Falling away. The beast is going to bring a falling away because people do not hold fast to the word. He will conquer them. So I'm just pointing out how the parable can help us now, right? Yea, it magnified itself even to the prince of the host, and it took away from him the continual burnt offering. Because who's got a continual burnt offering? We do. We who sacrifice our life, who put our flesh on the altar of the fiery trial and are there for it to be burned up, the sacrifice of the crucified life, right? And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. So that's what the beast is trying to take away from the people, their continual burnt offering. By the way, the Jews in the natural don't have a continual burnt offering. But the Christians do. And I'm talking about the Christian Jews too. I mean, they have a continual burnt offering. That is their flesh. If you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. That old flesh has to go on the altar. And the fiery trial, you must hold fast to the word through the fiery trial or else you will be consumed. Tim got Daniel 1, 5 through 9. And the king appointed for them a daily portion of the king's dainties and of the wine which he drank. And that they should be nourished 3 years, and at the end thereof that they should stand before the king. And then down to verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties, nor that, in other words, we don't need the beast's food, right? We don't need their wine, right? Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God made Daniel to find kindness and compassion in the sight of the prince of the eunuchs. Well, you know the story. Those who refused the beast's food, that's what they're offering out there over their mainstream media and in the churches too, this factious, angry, unforgiving, lawless attitude that they have. Those who refused the beast's food did not bow down to the image of the beast in Daniel. Do you remember that? They were the only ones that didn't. Okay, here's Vanessa. And this is all about those in the boat or the ark with Jesus escaped the storm. Mark 4, 35 through 41. And on that day, when even was come, he saith unto them, let us go over unto the other side. And leaving the multitude, they take him with them, even as he was in the boat. So look, the multitudes weren't in the boat. Leaving the multitudes. And other boats were with him. And there ariseth a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they wake him and say unto him, Teacher, carest thou not that we perish? And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful? Have you not yet faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So, if Jesus is in the boat, he's got authority over the storm. And for those who are in the boat, they will escape the storm. They just don't need to have fear, right? Don't fear. And Joe, Isaiah 60 and 14, "And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." So, these people fought against the prophets. They fought against Jesus. They fought against his disciples, his apostles. They fought. They even killed. But the Lord said, they're going to bow down at the feet of these people. Oh, how awesome. Well, I guess we have run out of time. But you know, I'll leave you a bunch of these more if you want to read them. It's amazing how the Lord gives us clear instructions on what to pray for, what to exercise authority against, and he's doing it for you now. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness to us and granting us repentance, drawing us unto you, causing us to know your name. And Lord, do this for your people out there. Do it for Ephraim, as you said, my dear child Ephraim, right? Lord, draw them back to worship of the true God. Wean them away from their golden calf and get them back in the promised land, delivered from Babylonian captivity. Deliver them, O Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that Cyrus is going to finish his work. And we are supporting him in that way through faith and prayer. Isaiah 44:28 says, "Thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, thy foundation shall be laid." That's there on the 8th. We got that. 45:1-3, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open the doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places." And he does have that. He is going to give it for the building of the church. "That thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel." Mm-hmm. Okay, good night, saints. Bless you so much. We'll do this again. And until then, please do some warfare. Okay? Good night.